right now?
Alright. The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way to use.
Oh, man.
This is Rant EM Radio.
Don't y'all think with the... That is your Cinderella thing.
Oh, it's definitely not, but...
It's
about to be nice this year, for sure. It's about to be nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got, you know, Mason Plumlee.
I'm saying, like, Will Barton, Gary Harris, like...
Jokic, whatever his name, Nikolai Nikola.
Man, you gotta say his name right.
Oh my goodness.
$150 million contract.
Hello, everyone.
Triple doubles, man. Yeah. Shoot, better respect the name. Better put some respect on his name.
Respect on that name. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Sports Report Podcast.
With the K on that respect.
I'm your host, William D. Morgan. Oh my goodness. We are already going at it on the show tonight, guys.
I'm seriously cracking up about this.
Oh my goodness.
The audience is listening to the bloopers.
Right?
You guys are getting some rare audio right now. So.
Radio gold.
Rare audio.
Radio gold right now. Radio gold. You guys can call into the show, 706-993-4606. Is that number for you guys to call in? Man, we got a lot to talk about today. But I have an esteemed...
You're fading out on me a little bit, too.
I'm fading just a little bit? Okay, let me see if that's a little bit better. We also have an esteemed panel tonight, the power panel, as I want to call it. First off, we have former BET... color and play-by-play man Charles McNeil set to join us tonight. He should be calling in a few minutes. Gave him a number earlier. We also have from Sports Breakdown, the host of Sports Breakdown, making a return to the show. We have Nicholas Wilcox. Nicholas, how you doing, man?
Oh, we are feeling amazing. How are you guys doing?
Woo! Good.
Feels good to be back here on a Monday. We're going to be chatting a lot tonight. So
yes.
Get y'all popcorn ready, as T.O. would say.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. And we are starting a little bit earlier. Brother got to go to work tomorrow, so we're starting a little bit earlier tonight. We also have friend of the show and constant contributor.
Gonna be hanging with the young cast no more, huh?
Man, please. Let me tell you, man. Ooh. I gotta get up 6 in the morning, man. So normally, if I go normal time, this show probably won't end till about 1. So my brother got to get a little bit of sleep. We also have contributor to the show. We have Gene from Cleveland with us. Gene, how you doing, man?
All right, how's everybody doing tonight, man?
And I was talking to you.
Ready to rock and roll.
And I was talking to you earlier this week and just said it. If Dez Bryant signs in Cleveland, bro, I feel for you. I really do.
Yeah, they're going to need some more Excedrin.
maybe more security, too.
Way more security. A romper room. It wouldn't be good for, in my opinion. Because just the franchise is just in the rut anyway right now, and just adding a guy like Dez Bryant, who's disgruntled from leaving Dallas already, felt like he's not appreciated, and then he'll come there and sign a 1-year deal, and they won't. It wouldn't make any sense. Just leave him be.
Really? Yeah. That's what I say. You have talent there in Jarvis Landry. You have talent there. Josh Gordon, if he can get his head on straight, probably Baker Mayfield can do something for you. We'll see. All right, let's go ahead and get the show started. First thing I want to talk about, it's been over the weekend, maybe Friday evening up until now, the NFL and their anthem policy. The league has been sort of kind of struggling on it. The Dallas Cowboys has been in the forefront of this, with Jerry Jones saying that the Dallas Cowboys will stand for the anthem if they want to remain Cowboys. My thoughts are, It's ridiculous. You should be able to peaceful protest however you feel, but that's not the case. And I thought it was interesting too that Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott backed Jerry Jones on this stance on the anthem. Gene, I want to start with you. Is this right?
I think overall, the league jumped the gun on it, and I think they made owners around the league make decisions not concurrent with a lot of people. And what I mean by people is the players' union and other owners. I don't think they talked to each other. I think it was something, a memo was sent, and the league said, hey, this is what we're doing. And the Players Association came back and said, hey, you can't do this. And I think the league left it after that without, you know, going back and forth with the Players Association. I think they left it to the owners to say, hey, okay, well, you handle it in-house. You handle it the best way you think is possible, and then we'll see where it goes from there. And nothing that any team, I think the Dolphins came first, and they said that they would find players. And then Jerry Jones said, you won't be a Cowboy. So, to me, excluding those two teams, just the whole policy period, it wasn't written in policy before last year. So, for you to take a stance and write it into policy this year shows that you are not concerned with what the players think. It just is like, okay, we're just not going to have this. We need to play the game of football. We don't need this extra. We don't need this extra mess going on. And it's just not a good look on the NFL, the way it was handled. Personally, do I think that they need to figure out a middle of the road agreement? Yeah, I think there has to be something. Because now you pretty much violating, you know, players' civil liberties and civil rights. I mean, come on, you can't tell me I got to stand for something if I don't believe in it. That's basically saying if I'm Baptist and you're Methodist, I have to agree with Methodist, but I'm Baptist. So you can't really, you know, you're walking a fine line with those type things, and that's why it's so critical. So I hope that they get something figured out soon, because some players aren't going to stay in the locker room. Some players are going to agree as a team that we should do this just so we can get beyond it. So it's a lot of corners that need to be, and a lot of bases that need to be touched in the meantime.
What you think, Nicholas?
All right, so we got a couple angles to come in on this one. You know, to be honest, you know, the NFL has never really been the league that allowed its players, you know, a platform to continually speak on things. It's basically, there's a certain aura in which we're the NFL and you guys have to abide by our rules, and you can't say these to me. You can't say this, that, or this, that, and the third, or whatever, or you can't do this, and you can't do that. There's like certain restrictions. Let's just compare it to the NBA. You know, the NBA allows so much free will for their NBA players. Like, you know, for instance, like, you know, like the NBA players on Twitter, you know what I'm saying, like, they constantly are on Twitter all the time. Like, you know, it just develops the brand more. You know, the NFL and the whole national anthem thing that Colin Kaepernick started back in 2016, you know, we're really right back at it, but only at a worser time, in a sense, because, you know, ever since the rule, you know, to about the anthem, like the new changes to the anthem, which has been freeze until, you know, the NFL and the NFLPA can figure out an agreement, you know, it just comes down to, like, honestly, like, the NFLPA wasn't even involved in that ruling of that decision. The funniest thing, the owners made the rule, you know what I'm saying, around them. And it's funny that even with that rule they came out with, it was just like, really not only weird, and not only the players, of course, were upset, but the rule more likely applied to NFL teams, because the policy states if any players or personnel demonstrated during the anthem that they, you know, basically not standing for the flag, everything, their teams will be fined by the NFL. The players will be decided by the teams. So that being said, like, the Miami Dolphins got backlash for basically, you know, you better stand for the flag, basically, you better not protest, type of thing. You know, so it comes down to just, like, how this could get solved is just basically come to an agreement where everybody has a, can have a say. Like, I just think how we really solve this problem is that, like, understanding that for some, the flag is a lot of things for some people. The flag is for, you know, the veterans that served for our country. The flag sometimes means, you know, hate and all this stuff that's gone on over the years from America. And there's other things that go attached based on people's opinion.
Right.
So that being said, everyone's going to have an opinion. That being said, like, we got to look at the sole reason why this happened versus, like, why just people are doing it. I feel there's a disconnect of more like a universal education on what's really, like, happening. You know, Colin Kaepernick didn't just do this out of the blue just to disrespect the flag. You got to understand why he came out and did that. You got to understand, like, how that moment in history is affecting us to now. You know, how is that moment still affecting us today? Because Colin Kaepernick is not in the NFL. Colin Kaepernick is still putting his money towards the things that he believes in and the communities he wants to help. I think we should be looking more at that example and being like, okay, I don't think, since then, Colin Kaepernick has not been with an NFL team.
Nope.
And I feel as though that we're not going to just talk about, like, one person in general about the topic, but I feel as though that you got to look at it at a more broad, like, more of a wide-open spectrum. Some people, I feel, are just still living in boxes based on their opinions and not understanding what the whole picture is. They're just looking at a certain piece of the puzzle.
Then we bring in Doom. Doom, how you doing, man?
I just watched a horrible last in the Raw, but I'm all right.
Oh, my goodness. Doom, we spoke earlier. You have a different perspective of the anthem policy.
I was listening about Kaepernick. See, my whole issue with Kaepernick is it's not what he did or what he did do.
Right.
Because he never gave us an end game or nothing. So this is just going to be an open-end thing. But then on the flip side, see, everybody's talking about what he did for this anthem protest. And we're not talking about his inactions of, you know, he's calling the owner a slave owner and stuff. I think his actions and shenanigans during that season with other stuff, not with the anthem protest, is sort of the reason why he's not in the league. Because once you start calling owners, and owners pay attention to the slave owners, that kind of changed the whole narrative on him. I ain't talking about the anthem protest. I'm talking about the players.
Makes sense.
And the owners don't want to bring that issue into the locker room.
Right.
I'll give you another example. Seattle would have brought him in. But tell me, what was the reason why they wouldn't bring Kaepernick into Seattle's locker room?
Well, first of all, I think you missed something. Honestly, if you really want to call it point for point, Colin Kaepernick actually is the one that opted out of his own contract to put him in that situation.
Yeah, so, exactly.
If we're talking about, like I said, the whole issue goes more than just that one player. Because Colin Kaepernick did decide to opt out of his contract when he had a player option. So,
yeah, I mean, that's one thing. What I'm saying is, when you go back, the Ravens is going to bring him in kind of like how they did Muhammad Ali. They was making that public until his girlfriend posted that picture of him and Ray Lewis.
Stupid.
That was what sealed the deal for Kaepernick. And these players are now understanding that. If they want to talk about the, you know, they're talking about boycott league till Kaepernick gets in. He's done stuff to antagonize different owners. I mean, he wore a Fidel Castro shirt, and
yeah.
you got the Cuban community. You got that yep. Cuban community down in Miami that hates Fidel right. Castro. So it's kind of
right.
It's got a double-edged sword. That's all you know.
And I piggyback off of Doom. He did something else. He had wore socks with
let's say
pigs on.
I'll throw one more to you. He's actually a locker room cancer. What was the issue mm-hmm. with the 49ers? He stole Alden Smith's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So it's things that this dude has done. He is not the saint that the media likes to portray him. You know, I'm trying yeah, not to tear right. the man down, but it's like right. we got to be real about it. We're tearing each right. other up. We'll fuss about this every day, pretty much. But we're not looking at what the dude do, you know, saying the actions this man is taking.
Well, then the question becomes, how serviceable is he?
Mm-hmm. He's been trying to worry about football.
Right, right.
I think that we... See, the whole thing that makes me upset about Colin, we know all this stuff that went down, but the thing that made me upset was the fact we never heard from Colin.
Oh, I know.
That's the thing that made me mad.
Was it Rolling Stone magazine that interviewed him? I think it was Rolling Stone magazine that interviewed him, and to me, out of all the discussions, he didn't really want to discuss it. He didn't really want to get into it. And I'm like, well, here's your platform, here's your chance outside of the NFL, and you have nothing to say.
Right.
So and I think that's what makes people not want to get behind him 100%. We understand his issue, but to get behind it is a whole nother thing. And I think that's where he kind of threw a lot of people off.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw another one to you. How hard would it for him to get on damn CNN and spew his stuff?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Stormy Daniels lawyers up there all the time. That's you don't true, tell me they right now in our climate they can't have him every week on a you know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
Oh, absolutely. It's a real good point. And but like I said, I don't think until recently, even when that started, he never said neither what was your main goal and your purpose? I won't say purpose. I understand his purpose. I don't want to take nothing away from, you know, his movement. I understand that. But he still never stated clearly that, okay, I don't want to play football. I feel this strong about it that I don't have to play football. That is not what we're hearing. He never just came out and said that. You know what I mean? So it makes you kind of think, okay, the NFL didn't go and start bashing him because the things that you brought up, Doom, we knew existed. We knew they existed, but he didn't. The league wasn't willing to go back and forth with him. So that tells you a lot about where they stood with him, I think, before all this.
And I always go back to, this has been my stance on anything that goes on the NFL. No player is bigger than the NFL. Yeah, it'd be the same thing when Tom Brady was trying to fight his suspension and taking it, and Ezekiel Elliott.
And Maurice Clarett.
He done brought up a name I ain't heard in years. You want to talk about Denver, there you go.
When you try to start getting bigger than the brand, that's when I have an issue. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, the NFL, and my whole thing is like, because I'm a veteran, professional sports is a game, dog. This ain't like a profession that I have to work. It's something that people just do to enjoy it. I love to play football or basketball and make millions of dollars. It's a privilege. It's not a right. And I think people are starting to get away from how fortunate they are, because we could be in another country that you don't have to have, you don't have the freedom to play a game and make more money than all of us on this combined in two or three games a year. You know what I'm saying?
Let me go let me go to Nicholas for a second. What's your take with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak and Zeke, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, backing up Jerry Jones? What's your thoughts on this, Nick?
I think, look.
Blah, 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 blah.
Jerry Jones is the owner. Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott are the players. And honestly, if you don't want to, if you want to just keep the peace, you're just going to listen to what the boss tells you to do. You're going to listen to every word he's going to tell you. And whether you agree with it or not, they are the leaders of the team, and they set the tone. They are in control of the locker room. Those are the players who look up to the most as captains. And what they say goes. So that being said, I have a personal opinion about it, meaning that, you know, should they stick by Jerry Jones as their owner? I mean, sure, he's the one that cashes the checks. He's the one that gets them paid. But I've said this countless times. I'm going to say it one more time. These players have the ability to not play. If they really feel this strongly about not, like, you know, like, really standing for the flag, or what, if they really have, like, an issue with it, then they don't put on the pads. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't put the pads on. Like,
see, I got one question, and I hate you for making me doing this. Defend these goddamn Dallas Cowboys. It's a lifelong Redskins fan.
Let's go.
But Jerry Jones takes care of his players, and Dallas Cowboys has a bigger issue with freedom of speech when it comes to the NFL. So we forget that when those police shootings, when they killed those police officers in Dallas, Cowboys wanted to honor those police people. The NFL wouldn't let them put stickers on. So Jerry Jones has a legitimate beef with the league. But you know what he's trying to do? Let's try to put this behind us and let's make some money. All right. That's how it's going to go boil down to the end of the day. Because it's two sides of the argument with that. Instead of the Cowboys are trying to focus on winning. See, what you're going to start seeing is the teams who's going to be more worried and focused about these damn anthem protests and stuff might be losing. So you hear all this stuff from Philadelphia. Instead of them worried about defending their national their world championship, they worry about anthem protests.
Right.
Hey, I do care and stuff and all this other stuff, but at the end of the day, I want my team to win. They can do this on all seasons.
Well, of course. I mean, Jerry Jones is the owner. Have to look at that business from a business standpoint, and that'd be so easy for him to do. But honestly, and we all know,
historically, Jerry Jones is taking care of Dallas Cowboys. You had dudes getting DUIs and all types of stuff. Jerry Jones has never.
We've seen him take plenty of chances on guys like that. We know that.
Second chance. I mean, Quincy.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about simply as you know, as locker rooms start formulating stuff like that, as training camps start coming around, you already know that locker room like Dallas, like that's fine. They can act like that for a good while.
But they're trying to nip
these issues of course they are. But honestly, that's not how every team's gonna operate either. So I mean, with Dak Prescott, I'm with them doing like making the best decision for the locker room. Don't get me wrong, but just to keep the peace, I get it. But let's see how long that peace lasts.
I'm telling you, but the Cowboys usually have strong locker rooms. I mean, besides the stuff that happened with them, instead of having a division within, you know what I'm saying? They can worry about other stuff. But again, go ahead.
I think when we're talking Jerry Jones, we're talking he controls pretty much every aspect of the inner workings. So what I think with Dak and Zeke, I think it wasn't something that I think they just came up with and said, hey, you know, let's back Jerry Jones. I think they're thinking about getting on and playing some football, but most importantly, to piggyback off what you said, it's about making money. Yeah. And I think Jerry, there might have been a closed door meeting where he said, look, this is what's happening to their gate over there because of this. This is what's happening in Philly because of this. Their gate is low. So we don't want to be a part of the negative. We got to stay in the positive here. So I think we all agree and say, look, let's, because this is America's team. Remember, Dallas Cowboys are the flagship team of football. So
says you.
Says you. But one of the flagship teams. So I think we don't. I don't think we.
Oh man.
Go against that, and I think we all agree. I don't know about homosexuality. I don't know.
No, that's just the jab the Cowboy fans. Tony C. Probably called it in the
same. Oh, okay. Man. I thought he was bringing up Michael Sams or somebody.
No, man. There is no love lost in Cowboy fan and Redskin hate. This is a true Redskin fan. Don't worry, I will say stuff that is it.
Right.
Now on the flip side,
but the bottom line is I don't think that those guys are doing it because of anything else, but let's get on and play some football.
Yeah, I mean, because they're trying to win. Last year they had a chance, but Ezekiel Elliott fucked up with
let's put a spin on this. Because the league policy is out of control with these suspensions, with these, you know, these stories that just pop up with no criminal charges. Like, but can we agree?
But when we tell you what's the issue, it's the people making the choices. It's not the league. It's the players.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna flip something. We was talking about revenue. I do a lot of like listening to like financial stuff in the news when I'm at work because I'm bored. Y'all know how much money Facebook has like lost. They almost lost like $200 billion. See, the NFL has not reported their earnings for last year. If Mark Zuckerberg lost in 5 minutes $16 billion because people was pulling away, how much do you think NFL lost this season with this stuff? They're not talking about how bad they've been hurt. If they lose 20%, I don't know how much they bring in. If they bring in like $8, $9, $10 billion, it's like as a whole league, they lose 10-15%. That's a big ass chunk of change, dog.
It's gonna hurt the players.
Yeah,
it's gonna hurt the players, and it's gonna hurt some teams. Mm-hmm. Because that money is generally generated in one common, you know, fund, and is, you know, that's how it takes care of the league. So like you said, it has been financially said and reported that they are losing not only money but a couple sponsorships.
Yes,
which aren't
couple.
And fans, you got to think about it. If people willing to burn $800-$900 worth of jerseys, these people are not coming back, and that's going to be a trickle effect. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And that's what I've been trying to tell people, man. It's like, stop pushing. I mean, I know it's a big issue. It's other ways of addressing the issue, but it's going to hit these people monetarily, and then it's going to be a big issue. Prime example, if the NFL loses a lot of money, they're going to have to renegotiate the contract with ESPN. What's going to happen to ESPN? They might go under.
Well, I don't know.
Well, we're talking about that television contract.
Because what happens is they're tied into that. It's almost like a CBA where they're tied into that long term agreement. So some things are not going to be able to like make adjustments on.
Right.
But at the end of the day, somebody's going into the negative. And somebody's going to be in debt.
What I was talking about was ESPN is they're not going to get that television.
Well, ESPN has been going, their revenue been going down ever since 2011. So, and that's because.
Since who? That, since Denver since came on. What did you say?
I said 2011. I said Denver. For the people who don't know, that's our inside joke.
Oh my goodness.
Oh boy.
Which I have another like issue about ESPN, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
Oh boy. Like I was saying, ESPN's revenue has been going down since 2011. And it's because they have to keep on putting up the subscriptions for people to make sure that they get subscriptions. Why? Because of all the technology that's been going on. But
don't nobody want that. But they ain't that, sure. That, but no. They're not sure enough that, that subscription.
That being said, they have to pay for those TV contracts in combination with the NFL and the NBA and all these other stuff. So it's like, yes.
Well, they overbid those contracts.
Sure. They did. They did.
Absolutely, they did.
And that app is trash. If the app was a quality app, I get you, but the app is trash. Look, I'm a sports fan. We're all sports fans at the end of the day. But the stuff that they show
is not come sports on, man. Fan.
Come on, man.
Now, the 30 for 30s is straight.
Yeah.
That's why people are listening to us tonight. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and move on. I want to bring up... And this is a topic that we got some rent in people.
Well, you sound depressed, man. Why?
Man, because I don't like I'm about to bring up Tom Brady, and I don't like Tom Brady.
And go to hell.
I don't like Tom Brady. I never have liked Tom Brady, but
wow,
he was first of all for me. I think me
sounds like, Tony, sounds like a mega hater.
I think me Tony C. I think me, Tony C, and I think you, Doom, and I don't know about you two, I never thought, despite
he's
everything he's done, I
no,
never
he's
thought
not it, the goat.
He's not the GOAT. To me, he's still Montana.
Oh, boy.
To me, he's Montana. The man went 4 Super Bowls, didn't throw a pick. Brady got a pick 6. 2 up, 2 what?
Not that if it wasn't for Adam Vinatieri, he wouldn't have won 2 of the Super Bowls. And if it wasn't for damn Russell Wilson being an idiot, he wouldn't have won one of them.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
And then
well, if Tyrod making all those gay Manning interceptions, when he didn't even go to those Super Bowls.
I'm gonna throw another one at you. If the Falcons would know how to have a damn running game.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Here we go.
But he was not pleased. He was not pleased at his latest press conference with the questions that were being thrown his way about Edelman and PEDs. He just walked off the set. Is Tom Brady losing it?
Yeah.
I think this
it's
whole
called Father Time's breathing on his neck.
I think this whole thing between Garoppolo
definitely.
Go ahead.
Definitely Father Time. The thing with Tom is Tom has been somewhat terrific because of what the league has allowed him to be able to do.
Right.
Over the other quarterbacks in the league.
Because he got a red shirt on when they're playing on Sundays. You breathe on them, that's 15 yards.
That's 15, exactly. You hit it right on the nose. It's a situation where they do a lot of protecting this guy. And at the end of the day, I think they're making him the star. He's technically, let's give him his credit. But that franchise has had a lot of a push.
You forgot a couple facts. They showed that video that he waved his arm real quick, mysteriously, to play card, go back 15, 20 seconds. It's some amazing stuff that Tom Brady got. You know, he's got, I think he got the time stone. That's what he got. He be changing the damn...
Whatever it is working.
Got them affinity phone.
It's more.
Yeah, he's not. He seems like he's not aging, but Father Time is undefeated. So, I think this is his last run, definitely.
He got one hit. That be it, and I can't wait till it happen when they break him up. Cause I'm gonna get. We gonna have breaking news. We gonna do a damn. Them 5-2 thing on Sunday, and we're gonna call Surfer and Rage on to the carpet to see if they're all right.
It's gotta be a breaking news.
And I thought I didn't like Tom Brady.
Yeah, I've never.
Oh, I haven't even started my hate yet.
I'm really going to load my salvo. I'm really going to load my salvo on my football season starts. We're not that far away from training camp. Some teams start Friday.
Hey, if I could find
We all know that New England Patriots are like the San Antonio Spurs. Like
they are.
Hold on. They are, because what does New England and San Antonio have in common?
No, it's not consistent. The Spurs ain't never been accused of cheating.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about secrecy. New England has done an amazing and masterful job over these last two decades of keeping things under the hood, making you think we're going to do this, and nope, we just did that. Bang, we got
it.
San Antonio's done the same thing with the injury reports. Tim Duncan's just taking a maintenance day. There's nothing wrong with him. You know, like, this type of thing. So talk about as a secrecy level. Like, both of these franchises have done a masterful job of just being so, you know, like, just being able to be so secretive. Like, you know, do we really know what happened in New England during those times where they've been accused of cheating? Sort of. Did Bill Belichick find ways to bend the rules or find a loophole? Yes. So,
man, you sound like a criminal defense lawyer right now.
I'm just trying to sing a different tune. I hear a lot of hate going on. I hate the Patriots too, but I have to give credit where credit is due, because they've found ways to win, and they've found ways to just, you know, to have a competitive edge and to have leverage.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, you can't say that they haven't.
But let's not forget that these teams that they put together that won Super Bowls, they were loaded and they were stacked and they just had great talent too. I mean, it's just not.
Early stages of Tom Brady's career. Those defenses were crazy.
Yep.
Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, yep. Ty Law, yep. Rodney Harrison.
Exactly.
The list goes on and on, what I'm talking about earlier on the career. But
okay, here's the first rule in any sport. Great defense brings you good offense. So they can't help that they had those solid players there. I mean, that the Patriots can't. You can't knock them for not being accused or being found, doing some, you know, tricks, whatever you want to call it. But so they have had great, solid players throughout the years around Tom Brady.
Now, I got a question for that. But if you, like, you know, videotaping somebody else's practices,
that's everybody does it. Me and you do it. If we go to a practice right now, because we all photojournalists. So if me and you go to a practice right now, I can sit there and film some things. I'm like, okay, well, you got to get
to
the start.
They never said where you could find the practice, film the practices.
Difference is, no, I wouldn't do it. I have too much of an ego. I'm going to try to beat you by my smarts. I will study film, but I'm going to film your practice.
What's the difference between, because in high school you have to exchange film
film. Well, you're not exchanging that person's practice. That's totally different. That's their game plan.
But it who was the coach of the Jets and they fired him? He became an analyst.
Eric Mangini was with the Browns.
Mm-hmm. He was giving up the secrets. I mean, there's no way if I got a team and all three of us on this, four of us on this panel, we all have different teams. There's coaches that get bump from one team to another, and they say, hey, well, Tom Brady, he likes this. or Belichick, he seems to do this. They can call that cheating if they want to.
No, everybody.
See, everybody does it.
No, you everybody misunderstand fails. What I'm talking about. That's tendencies. That's part of the game. What I'm talking about is you videotaping somebody's walkthrough in practice. That is called cheating. I'm not talking about studying film, looking at stuff, and you finding this on your own. That's totally different.
Do I want film of practice, or do I want film of live game?
I'd rather have game time film what they're doing, so I can use my skills. But the
Patriots, I want game time film.
They got the Eagles walk through for the Super Bowl. That's totally different from the Eagles NFC Championship game.
Who ended up winning that Super Bowl?
I'm talking about the year that they beat McNabb.
I'm talking about 04.
Yeah.
Talking about 04.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They videotaped their whole walkthrough. So when the Eagles played them again this year, they did a fake walkthrough to make sure that they won't get in whatchamacallit. But if you're taping somebody's walkthrough of their preparation, that is cheating. That is not studying their tendencies to be like, oh, when their guard rests on his feet or flat foot, they're running and stuff. No,
What's the difference of NFL films sitting there filming their walkthrough? What's the difference? You still got to play against it. No matter what you, just like on tape,
I think what we're trying to get to is that there's a difference between you having a walkthrough for 1 week versus another because of how you're preparing. So, for instance, if I'm preparing against the Rams and I have to stop Todd Gurley, there's going to be plays and there's going to be different schemes I'm going to want to have in place to stop Todd Gurley.
Right.
And in a sense, the same thing's going to happen offensively when I'm playing the Patriots next week. I'm going to want a certain player or two that the other opponent will not be seeing coming. Just like the Philly special in the Super Bowl that both teams actually did, but one of them executed it just better than the other one.
Yep.
So it's all about that's where I feel we're getting at.
Do you consider the leverage? Okay, do you consider that competitive edge?
No, I consider that cheating. Competitive edge to me is, hey, I study the film, official film that you got me, and I devise a game plan from that. Not devising a game plan from a game plan that I got from you. So if I already know what you're doing, to me, that's already cheating. Now, if I crack the code on my own, it's totally different. They're changing their game plan to do this. So you see them in a wide tackle six.
From a coaching standpoint, I just can't. You still have to coach against it. No matter what's there, you still have to be that type of coach to put something together.
If they know certain signals or certain like time that they're going to play that.
Now that changes it, Nick. When you say signals, now see that changes the whole game. If I'm filming signals, I'm just not filming practice, just nothing that they're doing as far as outside of just putting some plays together. I have no problems with that.
Why do you think most coaches now in the league cover most of their mouths while they're talking on the intercoms now?
That's been for years. I mean, you cover your mouth when you talk. LeBron does it in the middle of
no,
game.
No, he don't. No, I mean, hold up, man. Now, the damn Cavaliers didn't run no plays. It was just give LeBron the ball.
Absolutely no offense being ran. But to get back to football, that's been. Where they eliminate that is the coaches in the box. So you put a coach in the box and you speak through the microphone. If you look at, Green Bay's head coach, he always talks with his playbook over his mouth.
Right.
If you look at...
But they don't do that in practice.
Sure they do, because they've been aware that somebody may, if you're a good coach, if you're a good coach and you know what's going on, you're going to do that wherever, because there's still people filming outside of somebody trying to cheat. Like I said, you look at NFL films and you tell me where they be filming at. It's during their practice times. I don't know if they're absolutely giving up their whole playbook, but at the end of the day, they're there. So those coaches, they tend to do that unless they're mic'd up. If they're mic'd up, then they don't have to hide their mouths, because they know right now we're mic'd up, we can't say what we would like to say. But I get that,
but I think what my man's over here trying to say is that there are certain times where, like you said, you're preparing for a certain opponent, whatever, and there's going to be a play or two or a couple of plays or a package of plays that you're going to want just solely, you know what I'm saying, to just no one else is going to really know about. Not a lot of people are going to be able to take from you or anything like that. And you're going to want to know, you know what I'm saying, like when to use those plays. You're not going to want anyone else really to really know about it. So that being said, mm-hmm. it is whenever you're playing against an opponent for whatever game, football, whatever, it's a chess game. That's just almost like me having a sheet. We're about to play chess, right? And I know what pieces you like to move around the most. But that's just like me having a chess piece, like, you know, like cheat sheet right in my lap, in my hands. I can look at it, and I'm like, oh, he's about to play this piece there. Oh, it's gonna be so easy. We're gonna take that knight and put it over there. Oh, he's trying to move his queen over here. Oh, I'm about to take that rook because I already see it on my cheat sheet right here. Bang. I'm going to take it. Oh, and then he's wondering why I'm ahead of him.
Well, here's the deal. Most of the teams, and this is what they call it, okay, most of the teams go into a tempo package, okay? And what a tempo package is no huddle. So we're running plays. Exactly. We're gonna run. We're going to keep running plays. We're not even going to take any linemen. Nobody's coming out unless there's just a clock stoppage. But as far as going into the next play, we're going to continuously, no huddle. So then, now that, filming that is where you would get the meat of anything, because that's where the signals come in. Because guys aren't coming off the field. They're looking to the sideline. So I totally understand. And Tom Brady, of all people, and through his career, he runs a hell of a tempo package. They run a tempo package. I'd be watching that. I don't care about what he's done earlier in the game, hell, but I want to know what he's doing during that time. So I don't think that a lot of the footage that, if so, at that time, per se, that they had really accounted for anything, because the bulk of his game is under pressure. He plays his very best football under pressure. So if you get that, then you might have an edge. But to say that, like, I think that mattered, because they're all professionals and they know what you got to crack the code. And to come into a game of that magnitude, you better have something up your sleeve. You can't come with these six plays that you ran throughout their whole regular season. So do I make a big deal that somebody was over there tampering or taping? No, I don't make a big deal, because I like that. That shows me that you needed to do that to beat me. So with me, and I think that's how Belichick, you know, if that's the way he done things, or him and Josh McDaniel and, you know, those guys done things, so be it. You know what I mean? I just don't think, out of the, what, five champ, how many Super Bowls they got? Five?
Yep. Five or three.
Out of the five that they won, I think they earned three of them. And I think it wasn't the better team in two of them. Tom Brady is a legend. He's got a legacy. I don't like this guy per se, but when you're 30, what is he kicking, 41? You're kicking 41 in the league protection. I mean, what are you going to do? But I understand where Doom is going with that. I understand it brings a competitive edge.
Yeah.
For a team if they know, you know, some things beforehand. But like I said, at the end of the day, good coaches coach against anything, and you still got to play against it. So I that's why I can't go in looking like that, because that's coming from, like, just a coaching aspect. So what? We gave them our best film. We gave film to our best game we had all season, the best game we played. So if anything, you should pick up some things there Do I make adjustments? You damn well should. So at the end of the day, I just don't think that that matters to me anymore. I mean, so what? Everybody's got a camera.
Right. That's a good point. Everybody's really hooked into social media. We are definitely in the social media age. All right, let's move on to our next topic, and a topic that I know Nicholas doesn't want to talk about, but...
really? Do we have to right now?
LeBron James.
Is it Denver?
We're close to it.
Nick is my guy. I like Nick. Nick is my guy.
LeBron James. Did he just want to be in L.A. period? Is this a Laker thing, or him just being an L.A. period? Yes, man. You can go first, sir. You can go first. Yes. go ahead.
Oh boy. So LeBron, right?
Yep.
Oh boy, LeBron. Let me get my voice corrected. All right, LeBron James. Right. So, do we think this is gonna work out in Lakerland? Is the question.
No, did he just want to be in L.A. period? Did he just want to be?
Oh well, yeah. Period. had a house out there for years. His son, but pretty much was gonna go to the academy for years. All that was adding up. Didn't we say this? We basically said LeBron was going to L.A. like before. We've been said this probably for years. Honestly, we knew LeBron was gonna go to L.A. I think the question is, will this all pay out or will it work for him? I always thought this was a move for LeBron's post-career. Become a billionaire in L.A., like, you know, and become that glamorous star, you know, like, in the league. Like, you know, take it to another level and be that billionaire.
I mean, I want to caveat.
Boo-hoo crying, all that drama stuff. Yeah, of course he'll fit nicely. In LA, for that, but I think he made that move. It wasn't a basketball move. It was a money move. It was a power move. It was a billionaire move.
It was a legacy move.
Absolutely, not just for basketball. Yeah, for other platforms. Because look at other guys that from other industries that have been able to do that. The Rock from WWE made that big transition from WWE to the movie films, and now look at it. You know, so it's like not just a WWE wrestler anymore. He is a internationally known like superstar. So that being said, like yeah, LeBron did this for legacy purposes. He didn't do this for basketball moves. He probably doesn't have to win anymore. People will still call him the GOAT. So
nope.
I'm not saying I will. I never will. But hey, there's definitely some people out there who are really, really funny. People are saying that LeBron's already the GOAT, and I'm like, you guys are bugging.
I'm going to make this promise. As long as I'm on this earth, there's going to be a voice to fight against the tyranny of damn LeBron James.
He didn't say tyranny.
130, and they bring
he
this
said
conversation.
Tyranny.
130, huh?
But the thing, because I got to defend LeBron.
You defend LeBron.
I like that. Does anything? What are we taking in account here? Are we taking just basketball?
I mean, ain't like LeBron going to Denver.
Well,
no,
we're
talking about basketball.
Okay, two different
guys. Once again, he's in that conversation. He's in the GOAT conversation.
No, he's not.
Listen.
He played more seasons than Jordan. He played more seasons than Magic Johnson.
He won the league before Jordan.
He and Jordan took 2 years off.
He hasn't surpassed Kobe yet. And Mike went to college.
Just saying.
Hey, you. And Mike, Will, what? Give me one sec. Okay. Dude, did you watch the finals this year? Did you watch the finals?
Absolutely.
What was LeBron James when KD was coming down the thing?
He took a piss poor team.
No, you're not. You ducking from my question. What did LeBron do against KD? Did he go out?
He put Rodney Hood on it.
There you go. You just finish your whole conversation.
Hey, no, I have to speak on what happened in the game. He put Rodney Hood on him because of the younger, fresher legs. That to me is a basketball decision that was made right at that instant. He was like, "Look, I've given y'all everything. I'm a little tired. Let's get Rodney Hood. He's got more gas. We haven't used him up. Maybe he can make a stop." Obviously, he didn't make the stop. And now it goes on LeBron. What about the guy that was guarding KD? What do we say about Rodney Hood?
I almost steal something before we move on.
I can't
on,
believe we're
before
we
move
now.
On.
Before LeBron, we move. No. Listen. You know, he gets so much credit for going to the finals every year, but not winning at all. And people want to bring up the Warriors, the best of all, greatest all time team, and they're so this, that, and that. And that might be true. However, all these excuses that I'm hearing, you're calling him the greatest of all time. The greatest
they're
of all time
excuses.
Player would never be
they're
able
not excuses.
To have all
nobody
this
in the history life. Of the NBA has played in the finals against teams like he has. Period. Dot. I would too when it's 7-1.
What happened with JJ Barrera?
You can't excuse 2011, man. You can't excuse 2011. I'm sorry.
2011 finals where LeBron cracked worse than any big star.
You can't excuse no LeBron James fan.
And he had Chris Bosh. And he had Dwayne Wade.
Can no LeBron fan excuse 2011. No LeBron fan excuse 2011. You let Jason Terry beat you.
They came back to win the back-to-back.
You let Jason Terry.
They came back to win back-to-back titles.
You let Jason
that
Terry
was,
destroy
that was their
you.
First. That was their first time together in the finals when you had D-Wade and Chris Bosh. That was the first time they got together. They went to the finals. They didn't come up big.
But
They go two more years and...
But you let Dirk Nowitzki,
and they win it.
This
is the nuclear bomb right here.
Go ahead.
Moab, mother of all bombs. Yeah, what happened after these finals? Who came to the press conference with a cast? Talking about my hand was broke, boss.
Well, it was serious. It was broke. It wasn't broke. I don't think it was broke. I mean, we discussed this in an earlier podcast. It wasn't broke. But obviously some things was going on with it. But
Jordan never
did
do
you
it.
See how
did
many
Magic ever do it? Did Magic ever
go?
Did
MJ ever do it? Like,
yeah. MJ,
did
listen.
Did MJ ever do that after he was a terrible final shooter?
You like, let Dirk
do
you
that.
Listen,
they let Dirk
MJ still had Scottie Pippen.
They let
it
Dirk
don't matter.
You could
have a mediocre game if you got Scottie Pippen.
Hey,
LeBron can't have a mediocre game.
Hey, they let Dirk Nowitzki and the Teen Titans beat them in 2011. Come on, man. Wasn't a single doggone all-star on that team other than Dirk.
Oh, shoot, yeah. It happened. LeBron, like I said, MJ, he took some L's. He's been swept. He's been put out the playoffs in the first couple rounds.
If it wasn't for Oladipo and his struggles in that first round, they could have lost in the first round.
Struggles? I don't think Oladipo struggled. I think he was the bright spot.
He struggled once again.
He didn't have nothing else over there in Indiana to close it out.
Them close games, he struggled.
But
how much of a goat was he when KD snapped them fingers with the Affinity Gauntlet this year? He was like, "Wait."
Well, I don't really like to speak on Golden State and KD because really that team is super stacked, and his job was super easy. He's never had to play at the level LeBron has ever had to play at.
So he didn't play at
even
that
when
level
he had,
this year.
No, he played at the level he's supposed to play at with the surrounding cast that he has. I mean, if Clay's not on, one of those other guys are on.
Didn't KD drop 50 or 40 something
during
game
the finals?
Game three, Kevin Durant came out and was like, you guys, no, it's not happening.
And like I said, these two guys, and while we're on the subject of Kevin Durant
takes the same shot around the same shot on the floor that he did the previous finals.
And guess what? He shot that one over LeBron too.
Yep.
And let me see this. Exactly. And let me see this about KD. KD gets a lot of hate for the move, and I get it. I understand that. The optics, I don't get it.
You make the best move for you in your career,
right?
Because there's been so many other players that have done it, and they haven't gotten as much heat as Kevin Durant. That's the only reason why Kevin Durant gets the heat is because he made a smart decision. And he saw that the 73-win team was missing a player of his caliber, and that LeBron had to be responsible for checking him the entire game.
We all know that
LeBron, yes, he's a great physical specimen, but nothing of a great defender like he was that MJ was.
But before,
great defender.
He was like fourth in blocks.
He's not a defender like Jordan was.
But before we move on, you talking about LeBron or KD?
Talking about LeBron wasn't.
Let me. I'm pulling up the stats right now. Give me a second. I'm going to ESPN.com.
While you're doing that,
All I'm saying is that's what the 73-win team was missing from the Warriors that season. Right. You know what I'm saying? So now you put Kevin Durant on that team. Oh, yeah.
What happened to 73 teams? Four all-stars against one. No, the issue was Harrison Barnes couldn't hit a damn.
Oh, he put up all them bricks.
Side of a bomb.
He put all them bricks.
Draymond Green was out, wasn't he?
Which game are you talking about?
The whole finals with the 73 team. If he would have hit two shots, they would have beat him.
Yep.
You talking about with KD or without KD?
Without KD.
That was without KD.
You got to look at, we had Kyrie. So that balances out. And it balances out. So, but when you don't have the caliber player like Kyrie, then it showed in the finals because we didn't have nobody who else besides Kevin Love. I thought Kevin Love was fantastic. I thought he was fantastic in the finals. He was 20 and 10, I think. So at the end of the day, we just didn't have that third scorer, and it made the difference. But no team in the league can stop Golden State shooting. Nobody. So, do I say the Cavs are a bad team? No, I say they were led by a guy who put it all out on the line every game. And I don't know if you've ever ran up and down the court for that 48 minutes. I haven't, not for 48 minutes. But at the end of the day, you can't give that much offense and expect to give that much defense. He wasn't playing no defense at all.
And on the flip side, he went to the back and got some kind of ejection like the Super Soldier song. we getting hip to, you know what I'm saying?
How Shannon Sharpe said he on that vibranium?
Yep. He on that nightshade. That's what he on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he don't. But LeBron doesn't play D, and I think I stated that.
You did.
That's an understatement.
I've always stated that.
You did.
No,
you
it's doesn't play defense.
You sure did.
He's looking at the dude just dunking. He just standing there.
Absolutely. And I said that. But also, you have a guy who gives you a high performance on offense.
Right.
Now, let me flip it back.
Sometimes that will affect a two-way player. He's not a two-way player.
Because if you're the GOAT, you're going to be a two-way player your whole career. Jordan was two-way player.
I'm not going we can't absolutely say he just isn't a great defensive threat. I think he's a rundown guy. Okay. When he runs the floor, he runs the floor pretty well. He doesn't play defense as a team.
Right, he doesn't play half-court defense, right.
In the second, in that side of the court, he is a defensive player, but he doesn't play team defense.
Right.
So you can take that away, and I'll give him that.
That's fair to say. To absolutely
just be like, well, he ain't playing no defense, and then you not say nothing about what he's done offensively, you can't leave that out.
That's fair to say. I'm going to throw something at you. Because he hadn't been a prime defender since his younger days.
Right.
I'm with you. Until LeBron James wins league MVP, finals MVP, defensive player of the year, scoring champ, and I think he won the dunk contest All-Star game MVP. You can't consider yourself the GOAT. That was in one season.
The only MVP LeBron was getting this year was the All-Star MVP.
Well, he got cheated out of the MVP, and we all know that. You know, he got cheated out of the MVP. This isn't his. You take a team like that to the finals.
That's a conversation for another day.
No.
Now, LeBron have won. LeBron have won league MVP, finals MVP, not in the same year.
I said he won all those in one year.
Right.
The same year.
Right.
You cannot be the GOAT if you can't do that. You got to at least do that twice.
Has Michael Jordan did that?
Yes.
He just read it off from Jordan. That's MJ's stat line. That's why I keep telling people when Nick Wright, when you're with Gene, when
all
you're
in the same year,
yes, all in the same season, year. Yes, yes, all so in the same season.
Champion, league MVP, champion, finals MVP, defensive player of the year, and what else was the other stat?
An All-Star game.
Michael Jordan won one defensive player of the year. He's won NBA all defensive first team a few years. He has won NBA defensive player of the year one year, and that was in 1988, and he hasn't won it after that. So that fact false.
He won 1988 defensive player of the year.
And that's it. And then he's a 9-time NBA all defensive first team. Now, I'd give him that, but player of the year, he's done that once, and it was the year in 1988, he didn't win a championship. So, in the retrospect, he can't be in the GOAT conversation then if you're gonna give me false stats.
Hold up. You up here saying blasphemy.
You said you couldn't be in the GOAT conversation giving off false stats.
Well, hold on one second. He's a 16. Jordan is a 16 time.
Hey, Nick, you like that, Nick?
Jordan is an NBA. Hold up, guys.
I'm just being totally honest with you.
Let me go through his stats very quickly.
The correct stat should have been that LeBron hasn't ever won NBA Defensive Player of the Year, and Michael Jordan has. Now that stat is true.
Let me go through some of what Mike has done, then we'll move on. Mike, he was a 16-time NBA Player of the Month, 11-time All-NBA, 9 times All-Defensive Team. I don't think he even do the IBM Award anymore, but he won that twice. He was an NBA Player of the Week 25 times, MVP 6 times, Sporting News Rookie of the Year when he first came into the league from North Carolina. He was a 7-time Sporting News Most Valuable Player of the Year. NBA Rookie of the Year, of course, Hall of Fame inductee, 3 rookies of the month, 5 NBA Most Valuable Player. He was a 1-time Defensive Player of the Year, 2 gold medals, 3 NBA All-Star Most Valuable Player, and 1 All-Rookie Team. And his 63 points in Boston back in 86. It's not the record, but it's still one hell of a record when you consider he did it against the Big 3. Just saying.
You forgot one more.
What I forget?
He was college player of the year. Something LeBron will never have.
to that fact, while LeBron was playing NBA players, Jordan was playing college players.
Oh, but so let me say this.
Hold on. You know what type of era Jordan was players were playing against in that era?
Yep.
Jordan got cut. What? Jordan got cut from basketball. LeBron ain't never been cut from basketball.
Michael Jordan
was playing college basketball while LeBron was amongst the men.
I tell you something else.
Go play against Patrick Ewing. That's kind of a
time, honestly, man, but all right.
Like, I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something else, Jordan.
All these guys.
I'll tell you something else.
Ralph Sampson, college players. Are you kidding me?
Still college players.
I'll tell you something, Jordan.
Kobe came in the league and sat the bench 2 years before he even touched the floor.
I'll tell you one thing Jordan got that LeBron never have, slam dunk championship.
A what?
The slam dunk championship.
Yeah, LeBron doesn't get it. LeBron doesn't partake in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he thinks he's high class, high class wine. Oh, really?
Come on, Nick. Nick, come all right, on.
Guys, let's move on.
Nick, why would I do something? Hey, Nick, it's pointless to do something that I know I'm going to win. Okay?
Neglect the fans from watching a spectacular show.
Why is LeBron showing off at his son's AA, slamming the ball at his son's AAU game? Really?
But he can't do it for the NBA.
Yep, but he can't do it for the NBA.
That dude like he was practicing. Yeah, you know. That dude like he was practicing. Yeah, you know. That dude like he was at the warm up with calves.
He didn't want to break a toe or nothing like that.
That dude like he was at the warm up with calves.
You know what I call it? I call it he has so much passion for the game that that's what it is. And those kids know what he's about. It ain't like he has to show them kids anything, but it's just how much passion he has being on the floor. He can't help himself. You know, but I'm not going to get in the slam dunk contest. That weekend for him is rest. He'll play in the All-Star game, and he'll leave it at that. But other than that, he don't have to be in a slam dunk contest because it's a for sure win. Why would I get into it? And I like that one young kid, Zach LaVine. I really like that guy. And at the end of the day, you know, let those guys do that. You know, let those guys have a shine. LeBron has paved the way for so many players because of things that he won't do, and he's trying to help guys along the way. People just take it the wrong way. LeBron is forever going to be in the GOAT
conversation.
Forever
in your heart. Okay, we got it.
you know it. I know it.
He's the captain of the NBA.
You know it. he's in the GOAT conversation.
He's the key to Captain Planet of the NBA. Yeah. Heart. All right, let's move on. Let's move on real very, very quickly. I wanted to talk about the NFL one more time. What's going to be some of the toughest divisions we're looking at this year?
NFC South.
NFC South.
The NFC is just going to be tough in general.
I know that.
NFC North is going to be tough this year, too.
I noticed nobody gave the AFC any love. And where did the Patriots play? Nobody gave the AFC any love. And where do the Patriots play?
The AFC South is going to be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
The AFC West is going to be a little interesting.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, I'm telling you, NFC is just, there's a, we can name off 10, 12 teams right now that are playoff contenders.
We really could.
AFC, we could only name maybe 7, maybe 8.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know what I'm saying? That's just the reality of it all. I think the NFC, like I said, is going to be like the toughest because you've got at least 3 teams in each division that could possibly vie for a playoff spot.
Yep.
Starting with the East, I mean, you know, everyone's going to be competing in that East this year. You know, you got Eagles defending world champs, you know, and rightfully so.
You got Carson the Giants
Wentz,
there.
But Carson Wentz even coming back, you know what I'm saying, that they even played in the Super Bowl. You know, so they know he's going to be hungry to prove to the world that he's going to be able to, you know, showcase his skills again. You know, the Giants who got Saquon Barkley, who's going to be a great addition offensively for our team.
He should be rookie of the year.
You know what I'm saying? The Redskins brought in Alex Smith and to be competitive. So that NFC is going to it's always tough every year, and it's always intertwined. So the NFC South, we have 3 teams, basically. Saints, Panthers, and Falcons. One of those teams is going to miss the playoffs. Guaranteeing it right now. One of those teams is going to miss the playoffs this year. And it's just because of how big the NFC is.
Right.
One of those teams is going to miss it. I'm not sure which one just yet. We'll have to stay tuned to find out. Carolina has brought in some decent pieces. CJ Anderson's there. Coming in from Denver to take over the Jonathan Stewart role. DJ Moore they drafted. They brought in Torrey Smith offensively. So they brought some weapons around for Cam Newton. Now the question will be, will Cam Newton be able to put it all together now and for the Carolina Panthers to really go full force and take another step to making themselves a Super Bowl contender. Defensively, I think they're okay. So I think the Saints, I think they're all, I think they're putting it all together. I think there's definitely question marks on how Drew Brees is, like how he finished his season last year. I think people have some doubts about Drew Brees, but I'm sure he'll be answering those pretty quickly on how Drew Brees is, how he's great again. So, along with the Falcons as well, they have something to prove. Especially Julio Jones, only scoring 3 touchdowns last year.
Oh yeah,
I think that they're definitely due for some positive regression offensively, and I think it's just going to be an awesome battle to watch throughout the whole season from the AFC South.
You know the team that perplexes me over in the AFC more so than anybody else, the San Diego Chargers. They perplex me because on paper, you think Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon. You look at that team and you say, damn. But at the end of the day, they 7-9, 8-8.
Well, they just had 2 players like already ACL injuries already. I think the Achilles for Jason Verrett, one of the corners, Jason Verrett, is done for the year with Achilles. Mm-hmm. And then you had Hunter Henry, their up and coming tight end, who with ACL injury, he's done.
Yep.
So already you already got 2 injuries off the bat for the Chargers offense. I mean, for Chargers roster that already had a bunch of talent. Defensively, they're still gonna be just fine.
Yeah, I think so.
And now the question I had for San Diego was really will Melvin Gordon have a really breakout year, which I know he can? Can Keenan Allen stay healthy? And will Phillip Rivers, avoid the slump again? Because last year the slump wasn't so bad, going into December and everything. But every time we say San Diego has an opportunity. San Diego has an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It just seems like everything starts to fall, crumbling down towards the end of the year. You know what I'm saying? So that being said, I think, we look at San Diego, and we definitely see him as a playoff contender this year, but can they get over the hump?
Right.
Kansas City's defense is atrocious. Just look at their cornerbacks.
Yes.
and that's all you'll need to know about KC's defense.
And they got a rookie quarterback,
Patrick
too.
Mahomes is there, the new signal caller there. Mm-hmm. Alex Smith had an awesome, awesome year with that offense, so it's going to be kind of hard to duplicate what Alex Smith did last year with Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes is the first-round talent, and they'll have to make sure he gets it done.
Yes.
Tyreek Hill's there. Travis Kelce. They brought in Sammy Watkins.
Yep.
Kareem Hunt's there, but there's going to be other guys that are going to run the ball. So, I mean, and then don't sleep on Denver either. Don't sleep on Denver either.
Denver.
Keenum comes in from Minnesota. Don't come.
Oh, boy. All right. We're talking about Denver in the NFL now.
I think
Nick, you are my guy.
My
no matter what.
Issue.
How ironic, right?
Keenum
comes in from Minnesota.
Yep.
To bring them some quarterback stability.
Yep.
You got Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas there. They've been dealing with some awful quarterbacks the last couple seasons, and I think defensively for Denver, there are still pieces there that could definitely be one of the top defenses in the league again. So I think Denver is definitely a sleeper team for NBA and NFL purposes.
I think the only
Vance Joseph is going to do what with Denver?
I think one thing that's going to hurt them is the loss of DeMarcus Ware. You won't be able to rush the edge. I really think it's going to hurt them somewhat. I think it's going to hurt because you can't you're taking away a pass rush on that one side that the offensive line will have to be concerned with. I think that may hurt them a little bit. Who's running the ball for Denver?
Well, they drafted Royce Freeman, and not only for fantasy football purposes, but for real football purposes, him and Devontae Booker were pretty much fighting right now for training camp, and I
Booker's
think
they're going to
have a balanced running game there. Mm-hmm. I think, although Royce Freeman definitely takes over that backfield and eventually shows his stuff. Eventually, kids from Oregon, definitely check out the highlights from him because he's definitely a thumper. So
yeah,
I think they could definitely get it. I think they got a balanced game going on in Denver for sure. With the
running back,
all right.
Running back by committee.
I mean, they're all competing for a starting job.
Yep.
I mean,
running back by committee.
I mean,
running back by committee.
You got Philip Lindsay and what's his name, Devontae Booker, and then the other guy was his
Henderson,
D'Angelo.
Yeah, but he hasn't reported to camp yet. Some personal matters, whatever. I guess the team's not buying that, or whatever is going on.
I think him and Lindsey. I think Lindsey didn't report neither. So, you have those guys. They don't have a solid running game. I'm not saying they'll have a running game. But when you got five backs all coming in competing for a job,
it's a good thing. It's what happens every year for training camps. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna find out who's the cream of the crop, and I think it's gonna be Royce Freeman, not only for real purposes, but for fantasy football purposes.
Running back back
Katie. Hey Nick.
Yes sir.
Saquon Barkley's not competing for a job, okay?
Of course not. Okay. Nope. Top five.
Nope. So we don't have all the guys coming in Cleveland, who we got over there, Duke Johnson and
those guys are peeing for different roles in the offense.
I think Duke would be fine though.
Yeah. Not right now.
But when you got five,
I like Duke over there. I like Duke.
Carlos Hyde.
Hyde. I don't like Nick Chubb there. I think he's a Trent Richardson in the making.
Did you watch this kid at Georgia all these last couple of years?
Yes, I watched him. I think he is a power back. He runs hard. Carlos Hyde is 29, a little beat up. Especially in that division, you have to be able to run. I just don't think they have the backs. I think you grab a Saquon Barkley in that situation because you do have to run, and then you pick another quarterback because you got an offensive coordinator in Todd Haley from the Pittsburgh Steelers who came over, who's used to running with a bigger quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger. So you get another big quarterback. You don't go and get a 5'11" running a 4.9 40. What?
Doing like the Baker Mayfield
for Cleveland? Listen, you had 28 quarterbacks since '99 who haven't done nothing. So this has got to be your worst position ever. And you go and pick another quarterback,
or just a curse?
You never know.
Or just LeBron James.
You never know, man.
LeBron is definitely, they'll probably win a Super Bowl if LeBron joined the team.
Oh my goodness. Let's move on.
He has that type of impact. And he was a football player, if you guys remember.
He was.
He played his sophomore year.
He was. I want to say one more thing too about it. Do you guys think that John Gruden's gonna make good on that deal to give back his $100 million deal?
No, absolutely, he's gonna turn the Raiders around. I'm watching very closely.
He might be quitting mid season. He might be quitting mid-season.
My only thing.
If you can't even get your best middle linebacker to come and meet with you, that's a bad sign.
That hurt me because I love.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Listen. This guy's holding out for 13. I think they're paying 13.8 for the
salary. 13.9. Yeah, it might be 14 million. Yeah, basically. 13.8.
Well, yeah, 14,
rookie deal.
Nine.
He wants to make sure he gets some guaranteed money down the road.
I don't blame him. He's coming off a big injury.
It's okay.
He's coming off one of the worst injuries you could play at linebacker. You got to be very mobile, very alert. You got to be at that position. There is a tough position when you're coming back from an injury like he had. So he needs to just come in, shut his mouth, play some football. John Gruden is probably this team will go. This team will probably go 8-8. This team will probably go 8-8. I mean, they got some offensive threats. If Derek Carr can stay healthy with this team, then they can do some things. If he gets hurt or what he subsequently does get injured, if he stays healthy, I think this team is out of shot to win 8-9 games. But Raekwon McMillan, come on. I mean, not Raekwon, but what's the linebacker's name?
Khalil Mack?
Yeah, come on. He came off one of the most serious injuries that you can have. At that position, and you coming in and you want to hold out. That's why he's trying to hold out, because I don't know if he thinks he can hold up. You know, it's that serious of an injury to come back and still play at a high level, because this guy's a high level playing guy. take nothing away from him. But
I wouldn't
that injury,
it.
Yeah, but that injury for him, it made him think twice. Like, look, I better get some money just in case.
I love Khalil Mack, man. I do.
I mean, Julio Jones got his contract restructured. I mean, so I'm just saying, like, players, I mean, the NFL, the whole, we can talk about this contract situation, like, you know what I'm saying, but it's like, you know, there's less guaranteed money, you know what I'm saying, like, with some of these contracts, especially rookie deals.
And they paid him, so, but they wanted to take care of Ryan first. They wanted to take care of the quarterback. They wanted to make sure they got this guy, you know, secure, put away, yeah. But Will Jones
sure did.
I mean, he's not the best receiver in the league, but he's worth it over there.
No, he's definitely top four, top five. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. Right. No way. That is true.
Well, according to Nick, somebody in Denver is probably top three.
Oh, he used to be when he had a quarterback. He used to be when he had a quarterback. Demaryius Thomas was the man when he had a quarterback. He was the man when he had a quarterback.
Hey, Von Miller is one of the better guys in the game. So, hey.
You keep
on making me look good. Everything. But hey, Von Miller is one of the best in the game. So hey, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, he earned his money. He earned his money.
All right, next thing I want, we have a few more topics to roll out of here for the night. 2019 Houston Rockets. Can they dethrone the Golden State Warriors?
No, absolutely not.
Well, so, yeah, hold on.
Them losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Richard and Bamute is big for their wing defense, because honestly, those guys were the glue that held that together when you had to make so many switches and picking roles and screen plays and everything. Like, honestly, you need guys like that, especially when you're playing the Western Conference. With Melo going to that team, yes, it gives you a little bit more scoring, but to be real, you need those glue guys in a league that is consistently doing all these pick and rolls and having all these smaller lineups and all this type of stuff. You need guys like that.
Agreed.
So I say no.
Anyway, I mean, you need those guys, especially playing in the West. But like I stated before, Will, there's no team in the league that can stop Golden State shooting, okay? So you have to defend those guys as best you can. But I thought with them getting Clint Capella back, because that was huge.
It was.
To lose Clint Capella and Trevor Ariza in the same year, that would have been devastating. And those other guys, definitely devastating. I don't think, which he hasn't got there yet, I think the expected buyout for Carmelo sometime soon here in the next 48 hours.
They completed that today.
It happened. Well, yesterday, yeah. So,
right, yeah. So they'll complete that. He'll get there. I don't think that makes Houston a better team. I think it makes Houston maybe can hit some shots, and offensively, just in the game, I think they can hit some shots that maybe that Trevor Ariza couldn't. But losing Trevor Ariza was huge, because they were their biggest outside threat. But I thought them getting Clint Capella signed, I thought that was super huge. I think you need him. Because Clint Capella, anywhere else, Cleveland, L.A., with the Lakers.
They weren't going to lose Clint Capella because of the market right now. I mean, like, they weren't going to lose Clint Capella, really. Yeah. I mean, no one that really had the cap space to make sure they could match him. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right. But they can't compete with Golden State, because if you start the season and Chris Paul's doing well, if Chris Paul happens to get injured, then it changes the complexity of the team again, because now we got to go with Michael Carter Williams.
Right.
You know, at point guard. And Michael Carter Williams has always been.
Not really.
Very.
There was James Harden at the point. They go Eric Gordon. They start Eric Gordon as shooting guard. And the three. Like, you know, so they probably wouldn't start Michael Carter Williams per se. But.
But it changes the dynamic of that team. They're not the same team. And it showed this year with Trevor Ariza. With Clint Capella, it changed the dynamic of that team. So imagine,
of course, changed the whole dynamic of the series, and honestly, probably the NBA Finals. Like, so.
Yeah, they can't go with anybody. Nobody contend with Golden State right now, but Golden State.
Oh yeah, I mean, pretty much. Like, especially them getting Marcus Cousins. I mean,
wait a minute. Hold on, Will.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I take that back. There is one team that may be able to compete with that.
Uh-oh.
Boston.
No.
Denver. Last quick, last topic for the night, and this might tick some folks off, but I'm gonna ask the question anyway. Who's the best college football team of all time?
Best college what? Boy.
Best college football team of all time.
Yeah. None other than Ohio State.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. Because that old one Miami.
Talking about best college football team of all time.
I think it's that old one Miami team.
Now, are we talking about taking one team overall,
like are you all
talking,
time. Or
just talking overall.
Yeah,
just gotta take that team overall. Yeah. We'll take one team from 1 year, and that's our one team that's probably our favorite of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If that's the case, I like USC with OJ.
I love Miami. So that's why I asked that question.
Oh, one Miami.
Well, I think Will said that. The 2001 team.
Frank Gore.
Ray Lewis.
I think Jeremy Shockey was on that team.
Yeah, who was the quarterback?
I can't remember his name.
Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, Ken Dorsey.
Was that Ken Dorsey?
Yeah, it was Ken Dorsey. That was the only weak spot on that team was Ken Dorsey.
Yeah.
But I don't know now because there's some other ones you could put in there. You could put that Vincent Texas team in 2005.
You sure put them in there for sure.
You know, you could put them up there. They went, there. You know, they went 13.
But come on, do you in Miami whenever? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
Let's be real.
That's tough.
University of Miami. Like.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
Those teams crushed.
That 2001 team went on the road and this was spanking folks.
I mean, they were spanking everybody.
Oh,
it's all about the U, is what they said.
Ain't nobody beat Florida State at home. Nobody. 2001 Miami just went in there and killed them. I said, ain't this about a bitch? Ain't this about a bitch? My team is losing. Dang, man. But you know, you got a good point. Selling Cal,
if we can't talk about all the time without saying Alabama.
Yeah.
So we can't be talking about them. You know, Florida is probably in the mix of that as well. Of course, it has to be SEC.
If
we're being honest, definitely. It's an SEC team. You know what I'm saying? So if we're talking about best of all time, it's definitely an SEC team. They're always the most competitive every year. They get all the best prospects. You were talking about an SEC team that's one of the best of all time.
if we had
to pick somebody.
I don't understand some of these guys on Facebook because you go look at some of these college football groups. I got people telling me the Washington Huskies are going to be all that. I got people telling me the Florida Gators are going to be all that.
They get hype every year. They stink.
They're terrible.
The Huskies?
Yeah, the Huskies, the Gators. The Gators, the Gators are so bad.
Pac-12 is, come on, yo. come on, really?
Oh, my goodness.
Pac-12?
Yeah. Ugh. Huskies getting love, the Gators getting love.
UConn Huskies?
I don't know what it is. I mean, they're competitive. I just maybe don't like. Do you like that division? Do you like their conference that they're in?
I don't.
Pac-12.
I don't.
Yeah.
Talking about the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Just for me, it hasn't been like as fruitful as it has been the last like 5, 6, 7 years, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
In my opinion, I mean, you've had some tough calls. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Stanford's gonna be always in the mix. You know what I'm saying? Cows are always going to be in mix. Southern Cows are always going to be in mix. There's going to be like good 4 or 5 teams that are going to be in mix every year in the Pac-12. But
right.
It really hasn't. Right. I don't know. It just hasn't been that competitive for me.
But that's where they're saying they're going to be they're going to be solid. They're saying they're going to be solid in that Pac-12. And I'm like, well, I don't know because, I mean, you still got USC there who's, you know, who's been solid. And like you said, Stanford. And then, you know, Oregon's been kind of lackluster here the last couple of years with all the mm-hmm. coaching changes. And they lost their identity.
Taggart's gone now.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, you just lose their identity. But other than that, I mean, there's nothing else there. I mean, besides Oregon, Stanford, and USC.
Yeah.
And then you got the Huskies.
Yeah.
So it's not much to compete against, per se, because those other teams, Arizona State, I think Colorado, yeah, those teams aren't never talking about too much. So, I mean, it's just a weak conference.
I do.
Yeah, well, Washington's a favorite based on, based on some people in Vegas and stuff. That's why people are talking about Washington as highly as they can be. But let's mm-hmm. be real. They're not being an SEC team.
Never.
Especially not with no Jake Browning. Like, come on.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and go over all the shows on Rant In Radio very quickly before we get out of here tonight. Tomorrow, 7 p.m., you can catch The Shining Wizards. Should be episode 381 live on the network at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by The Rant with Double A and Tony C. They'll be on at 9 p.m. Eastern, going over all the news in pro wrestling. There's a lot of bad news in pro wrestling they will go over. That'll be tomorrow at 9 p.m. Then, network hits you back again on Friday night, 5 p.m. We have all new Rant Wrestling, brand new Turnbuckle Throwbacks, my man Philly Phil and Choppy. Have a Will You Read and Comic Book Show. Well, actually, no. Yeah, he might make his return this week. Definitely check out the network for further information. The Will You Read and Comic Book Show may be coming back this Sunday at 5 p.m. I am not sure on that. Definitely check rantaimradio.com for more information. And then Monday, back at our normal time, 11:15 p.m. Eastern, will be this fine show, The Sports Report. 11:15 p.m. Eastern, right after Monday Night Raw. And God, Raw has been terrible lately. All right.
Terrible. Awful.
It's been awful. It's been terrible.
Garbage.
I hate garbage.
Straight
trash.
I
hate Roman Reigns. I hate Roman Reigns. I hate Alexa Bliss. Y'all suck. You suck. Tell you that right now.
I like.
I can't believe they're still putting Roman Reigns down people's throats after all these.
It's not as bad as he.
I think they're pumping that Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar thing up right now.
Yeah.
If you're not gonna let Roman Reigns win the title, like, come on, like.
Yeah, they're letting him. But I think that's for Brock. I mean, Brock seems like he's doing what the hell he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
He gets popped.
They're only keeping the belt around him so they could break CM Punk's record and basically race him from the record book. But hey,
sounds about right.
They did that with Nikki Bella. So you know they did that with Nikki Bella. To forget somewhat some of what the other ladies have done, particularly AJ Lee. So you know, but we should see what they do. Fellas, I want to thank everybody for calling. Doom left us a little while ago, but I know Doom's got to go to work tomorrow, same as I do. But I want to thank you guys for calling in. I do appreciate you. Gene, thank you for calling as always. Nick, thank you for calling in.
Yes.
Tell us what you got coming up on your show.
What I got coming up on my show
is
I'm going to be having some plethora of guests coming on. We're definitely expanding the network and the brand. And definitely looking forward to, you know, fantasy football's coming around the corner. So if you want your advice for fantasy football, hit me up. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have some plenty of topics about that as the fantasy football season comes around the corner. You know, we're going to be talking about just NBA stuff coming up as well, you know, and, you know, just talking about sports. Just talking about good old sports.
Where can we listen to your podcast?
So you guys, if you know about the Anchor app, feel free to go to the Anchor app, the Sports Breakdown with Nicholas Wilcox on Facebook and on the Anchor app, and then feel free to hit me up, you know, questions, what you guys want. I'm definitely deep in fantasy football, so feel free if you are intelligent enough to come on the show, hit me up.
Man, yeah, y'all know good what Nick gonna draft. Everybody from Denver. Don't even listen to Nick.
Lord have mercy.
He gonna draft everybody from Denver.
I gotta leave on that note. See you guys. See you, Nick.
Alright, see you, Sean.
Alright, you guys. Thank you for calling in. I do appreciate it. And I will see you guys next week. Everybody take care and have a great week. Not on computer.